St. Joe, another year of Chiefs training camp. Day number one. It happens to be season ticket holder day here at Missouri Western. And we are going to be joined by Trent McDuffie at the end of practice today. We'll get started on a very strong note with McDuffie. A lot to get into with him, Cody, obviously.
Yeah,
contract
tons.
Stuff, versatility this year, eventually if Christian Fulton gets back in the fold. But it's day one, and so it's the first sign that we are getting close. Truly, football is back officially today.
So, yeah, single digits, I believe, until the Hall of Fame game. The Chiefs aren't in that one, but single digits till an NFL football game is played in some capacity. Chiefs' first game is, I don't know, two and a half, three weeks away.
45 days away from the regular
45
season.
45 days from the regular season, and yeah, we're up at training camp, so it does feel real. And I'll say, last year's training camp, I thought we came in, not a lot of storylines, right? You and I are out here paying attention to guys jogging on the field named Matt Araiza due to the fact that there was a low level of pressure other than the, hey, they're back-to-back champs. The storyline was, are they going to be the first team to three-peat and actually complete this thing? But already right away, I feel like the biggest story of camp probably to follow the entire time is they put people out for reps, and the first person to get a snap at left tackle was Josh Simmons.
Yes, he was.
Not Jalen Moore, who got the first snap at right tackle, notably. And if he's getting day one, snap one at left tackle, it does make me kind of believe the favorability of him winning that job is very real.
Well, let me say this, because you know I was very skeptical for the last couple of months.
Yeah, he's here.
That Juwan Taylor's injury maybe plays somewhat of a role in Jalen Moore on the right tackle side today versus Simmons. But I was skeptical, would Josh Simmons truly be ready to get the same amount of reps as everybody else on day one? Now, not in pads or anything today, I want to be clear. It's
sure.
It's a walkthrough, essentially, to a certain extent, a little bit more than a walkthrough, but they're just wearing shorts and jerseys, no shells, no pads. But the fact that he's out here, and from what we can tell, at this point at least, is doing the same amount of work as everybody else is an unbelievable sign. What we don't know, we're going to hear from Andy Reid today, we're going to hear from Patrick Mahomes, Trey Smith, and George Karlaftis. What we don't know is if Juwan Taylor was not on the pup list, and he is,
then how would it
who would be getting the first rep at left tackle? Because, look, I'm excited. Don't get me wrong, Cody. I'm very excited to see Josh Simmons getting first-team reps as we just had a nice catch made by somebody pretty deep down the field. We'll get into that kind of stuff throughout the
day. Sorry, it's a third-string quarterback.
Oh, never mind then. Anyway, so
I think it was Juju maybe who made the catch.
81.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was 81. Nico Remigio, I believe.
I saw the number.
I think it was Remigio.
That is Remigio.
So is he getting first-team reps because Jalen Moore has to be right tackle getting first-team reps with Juwan Taylor out? Or is this, would this have been the plan even if Juwan Taylor was there? And that's something that we don't know. We simply don't know. But it's a great sign that he's getting left tackle first-team reps.
I mean, I get it. The question would be, who would be getting those reps? But let's say Juwan Taylor misses a week of practice. Well, then he's getting the first team the whole time in Simmons. I'm not saying they won't try guys at both spots. But if you establish for an entire week that the person getting the first team first reps at left tackle is Josh Simmons, well, then Juwan Taylor coming back in a week, likely, in my opinion, Gold, wouldn't dramatically change that notion, and then we'd be right back to where we were. Look, the other stuff is small, right? We see where they're lining up McDuffie in the early going. We see where they're lining up some of the interior guys, you know, like in the early going.
It's
obviously
day one.
Kingsley got snap one at left guard like we anticipated over Mike Caliendo. But the Simmons one, that's not nothing. I know we come up here and we tell you about little things that are happening, and coming up in the like 11 o'clock hour, we're going to introduce a new segment on this show to take care of some of these camp fascinations with players, right? We're going to play into some of the things that just exist in camp. But this camp does have some major storylines, and one is, can they fix left tackle? Did they fix left tackle? And at the week one part of in Brazil, who's starting at left tackle is
right.
A real thing. Right now, it appears the very early edge is to Josh Simmons.
Yeah, it's the number one question everybody has throughout training camp, and here we are on day one. And it's also a reminder that if, in fact, Juwan Taylor had to miss time in the regular season and wasn't available week one, and we don't know the answer to that. He's
no,
on the
don't.
Pup list. Andy Reid 2 days ago said he was closer to coming back than others, but we just don't know what closer means. If Juwan Taylor misses week one, well, we're watching right this second. We are watching what the starting offensive line would be week one in Brazil if Juwan Taylor misses any time to start the season. And so that in its own right is kind of exciting to see it. I mean, if you go best case scenario here and you tell me that Josh Simmons truly is the week one left tackle for this football team, then the Chiefs getting Simmons where they did in the draft is going to look like an unbelievable pick by the end of the season. I really believe that. I know people say, well, we thought Kingsley was going to be good. I think it's a little bit different. This was more a health question than an ability question. Kingsley, everybody at camp, we obviously discussed it last year. We saw him. It was about, hey, he's very raw, but he's super athletic. Well, Josh Simmons, nobody's saying he's a raw prospect. Everybody's saying, is he healthy? Is he the same player post-injury or not? Both are questions that haven't been answered, but I feel better about the, hey, if he's healthy, the production they will get. We'll find out throughout his career if he ends up being a top 10 tackle or top 5 tackle or something crazy like that. And I actually don't think it's that crazy. But his ability week one to start would be massive considering the resources they invested in the first round.
I told you I'm gonna tread a little more lightly this year, as in I will still take it as a good sign, Gold, that he wins the job day one. But he's winning the job over a guy that has like 13 career starts. So I'm not going to just like send it to the moon if he ends up making the start. But all the things
it's better than Kingsley.
Ceiling?
Kingsley won it over Wanya Morris, with all due respect to him, last year.
He had the same number of starts.
But
not as good. Not as effective as Jalen Moore, as many games.
Yeah, you and I have gone back and forth on that very point. Yeah, same amount of games. PFF grades are different. Overall, in terms of rounds they were drafted, were one different or whatever as well.
Yeah, those are about the same.
It depends how much you value the grading. Also, we all saw Wanya Morris play in left tackle last year, and they had to move a guard to left tackle. Like, we saw it. Trent Williams, he's got at least in Jalen Moore's case, he had a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer in front of him. We'll see.
But, like, we don't know, like, the problem is that I don't know that he would have beaten out a Wanya type because he didn't beat out Trent Williams. He was never going to beat out Trent Williams. Yeah. He had no chance to do it. I'm just saying it's more of an unknown. And I'm not going to pretend like Jalen Moore is like this known product that he definitely beat him out, because I felt like I walked into that trap last year. And while Simmons is a much higher,
I just think they're completely different prospect. Yeah,
are much, much differently thought of. But I mean, we talked like Kingsley at this time last year when he won, not this time, but around this time last year when he won the job, that he had won the job. He was deserving of it. That, you know, he beat somebody out. That's a great sign. And, again, it's not that I won't take it as nothing. It is definitely the biggest storyline of training camp, whether or not he wins the job. But I'm not going to just take it as gospel as, well, he's a top 15 guy right now because he beat out Jalen Moore.
I'm not saying he's a top 15 tackle in football week one. I'm just saying the difference is, you're right, Kingsley got reps at left tackle last year and he won the job and we were all excited. That is accurate. That is what we said and what everybody was saying at the time. Completely different questions, though. Everybody acknowledged Kingsley was raw and was going to have to really develop. No matter who you talk to, whether it's in Kansas City or outside of Kansas City, the question about Simmons appears to strictly be a health question. And if he is healthy for week one, then I'm not worried about at least getting average left tackle play on week one. And obviously you hope he ends up being better than that. But we'll see. It's a great starting block today for for Josh Simmons, though, getting reps. Someone was asking about left guard. Kingsley was getting the initial left guard reps. We're watching it right now, actually, just to our left. And Josh Simmons, by the way, every bit of as advertised in terms of size. What he brings to the table out there, 6'5", 310.
Yeah, he's a big man. And look, I hope that he is every bit of, I still would argue with the, he would have been a top 10 pick. Forget about all that.
We'll find out. Yeah.
He would have been a first round pick no matter what happened, because he was a first round pick and there were a lot of other teams interested in him. And yeah, had they known he was going to be ready for day one of camp like he is now. And honestly, I didn't believe the Chiefs about that until it happened.
Yep, same.
Because I've been told about injuries or not told about injuries. Use the other ones as an example. We didn't even know that Juwan Taylor and Christian Fulton were hurt. I didn't even know that as a fact until yesterday when Andy Reid had said it before the media stuff. And so I was going to reserve some time in order to do it. Because the other part about Simmons is, yes, it's about winning the job and all this other stuff and securing left tackle. But because he is coming off a major injury, it's about making sure he gets through camp. Hell,
for sure. And that's why
it's about getting through camp. Okay.
What we're going to have to watch is, especially when the pads are on, all right, does he practice and have the exact same amount of reps the next day, or do they take it easy? You know, is it, like today, they're not in pads or anything, but is he back up here Wednesday, tomorrow, and Thursday doing the exact same thing? And then a week from now, or early next week when they're in pads, is he able to go back-to-back days in pads, getting first-team reps? And then still the next hurdle, I think, is if Juwan Taylor is back healthy, is he still getting the first-team reps over Jalen Moore? And that is still the one wild card a little bit as well. We're just getting started here from St. Joe. You guys can still hit us up. We got the text line pulled up, 913-586-7965. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Coming up after practice, reminder, Trent McDuffie going to join us exclusively today. Plenty to get into with the now four-year corner for the Kansas City Chiefs. Trent McDuffie,
and
you're also going to hear.
Paid around him, so.
That's, yeah, wait, we're going to ask him about it for sure. And thinking of getting paid, you're going to hear from Trey Smith. You're going to hear from George Karloftis today, plus Andy Reid. And we will get to that. Someone asked, hey, are you going to talk any Royals today? Yeah, we'll work in Royals today still, even though we're at camp. Obviously, we'll talk about Salvador Perez, who just continues to be absolutely
Cags
on fire.
Got an opposite field homer. Rave's also hot on this.
The guy that Rave? Fell into, like.
That's amazing.
That's why they have that there, I guess. Otherwise, he's falling on the field.
Yeah, they got the nets for
that,
a reason,
man. He was a bigger dude. That basket or whatever, that held him. I mean, that thing could have collapsed. Now, how embarrassing would that
have
been?
The people photoshopping his legs spread out with Cubs or all the other stuff. Drew probably thinks we shouldn't make fun of him, though. That's just a man living his life.
Leave Drew alone. No.
We can't make fun of him.
He said that's okay, though.
I know. This is okay because the person is not okay. Nobody is suffering in the video. It's a funny moment. The person didn't get hurt at all. It's a funny moment. This is okay.
But what if he's embarrassed by it? What if he was embarrassed? Then we can't do it? What if it caught, you know, like, what if his company was like, he was there on company tickets and he lost his job because he got too drunk? Then no good?
If we find that out, then we need to stop making a joke about it. But at first, right now, while we know what we know, I think it's totally fine. While we know what we know, it is totally fine. Just like the other thing. We before we knew anything else, it was a joke, and now it's more serious. So, you know, I will say this. You guys sound like you've hit a second wind. You guys sound amped up. You guys sound
it's football's back,
up.
Drew. Now,
the
check back in.
Going.
Drew, check back in about a
show 10 or 11.
Check back in about in 2 weeks after 8 shows, 9 shows when it's 105 heat index. But right now, it doesn't feel terrible outside. And if football is back, it's a sign that everything we love about the fall, football, the Chiefs going for another title, fantasy football, sports betting is going to pick up. Yeah, there's a lot of reasons why to be excited, and it's good to be back around a football field, at least on day one. That's for sure. And I'm excited we got Trent McDuffie, if you want to know the truth. Very excited we got McDuffie coming on the show.
There's a lot of interesting things to talk about. He's an interesting person. It might be the single best interview on the team. If that helps tease you to continue to listen to the show, I genuinely mean that. And we said that in confidence with each other yesterday.
Yeah.
So I think he might be the best interview on the entire team. There's interesting storylines because he's the only guy who hasn't gotten the contract extension, even though he has 2 full years under contract still left for the Chiefs. That doesn't even include what a franchise tag would be like. So I kind of want to find out if he's close to getting paid, if he wants to, you know, like what he envisions. Does he think he's better than Sauce Gardner? I don't care on any of it.
Yeah, we've got daily weather reports as well from camp. We'll have our first one coming up in about 7 minutes or so. We decided, hey, everybody's asking us on the text line already, are you guys staying cool and things like that? Well, we'll get a weather report coming up in just a little bit. But you were thinking a little bit about the pressure or lack of pressure heading into this season for the organization.
Yeah, I always kind of look at it. Once we get to camp, you start thinking about those big picture storylines and how they impact the team and where they are and all this other stuff. And I felt like after they completed the dynasty – and because they came up short on the three-peat, obviously there was pressure related to a three-peat, there always will be. But, like, this feels like the least pressure they have had going into a season in years, maybe 5+. Not coming off a Super Bowl loss, but not in the way where, like, you only had one Super Bowl and that was your chance to get two and, oh, you're going to waste the prime of Mahomes. Not the season where you're coming off a win and you're trying to go back-to-back. Not when you back-to-back and trying to go for three. Like, I think this is – they are more off the radar than they have been in a while, and I feel like this is less pressure-filled than I'm used to it for the Chiefs going into a season. I know they want that retribution.
Yes.
But, like, it's not the same because, like, they've lost a Super Bowl and come back from it and all the other stuff, and it hasn't been years or anything outside of that. Coming off of 2 wins.
Yeah.
The Super Bowl loss doesn't hurt as bad when you won the 2 before.
Well, so the last part, I don't know if I fully agree. I agree with the beginning, which is if we had, like, this meter of pressure, it was all the way turned up. It was maxed out.
It
the gauge was red.
Cranking.
The gauge was all the way to the right. It was red. Okay? I would say it's, like, back to yellow territory where you have Patrick Mahomes.
Like green. It's not,
you have
not
Andy,
the Titans.
You have Andy Reid. You have Patrick Mahomes. Chris Jones is, you know, who knows how many more years of being effective like he has been throughout his career. You know, it is the last year for Kelsey, we think. All that. No, I get what you're saying. There's a ton of pressure still to do that. But if you're saying, hey, they're going for, like, flat-out history and all that like last year, no, of course. The temperature's turned down. Nobody's asking them constantly about repeating. If anything, everybody's just going to keep asking them, like, you know, does that give you any extra motivation because of how bad the Super Bowl went, basically, for you guys, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, I would agree. Over the last 2 years, one, you were going back-to-back. You were going for a back-to-back campaign. And then last year, of course, going for the three-peat. That was maxed out.
And the back-to-back needed to get the dynasty, right? To call yourself that gold. We agreed. To call yourself a dynasty, to complete a thing that only a handful of teams in NFL history have completed, you needed the one last year. That one, or 2 years ago.
Sure.
That one felt full of pressure. The three-peat felt like your chance to just, like, and the reason why it continued to crank up was like, well, this is your chance to do something no one's done. You're going to be all in your own little island. Not a dynasty like other teams, not a regular old Steelers or Cowboys or Patriots, and a dynasty like the other dynasties, because the Patriots I still think had kind of two because of the 10-year gap winning Super Bowls. Like, none of the stuff where you're like, yeah, that's a traditional dynasty, that's the way it works, but instead had a chance at history. And now, okay, you're coming off a Super Bowl loss, that stinks. I'm not saying you're not motivated or anything like that, but, and this isn't even going to, like, the national people that are going to start picking the Chargers to win or whoever else, the Broncos to win the division, all the normal nonsense that comes with this time of year. I just think internally the pressure had to, like, really kick down. Like, instead of DEFCON 1, they get to just sit at a 3, you know? Like, they get to sit, like, at a normal level of preparedness for, like, serious pressure that a team of their caliber gets, but not the kind of pressure they've been dealing with.
I think based off the national conversation, it also has been toned down. There's a lot of people saying that this is the year for Buffalo, this is the year for Baltimore, but it can change very quickly by week two or so, right? By week two, if this team goes on YouTube, national stage, Friday night in Brazil against the Chargers, a team that, once again, people are thinking can overtake them for the first time in 9 years. If that happens, and then the Chiefs welcome in the defending champs, Philly in week two at Arrowhead for the home opener, if the Chiefs look good and start 2-0, I actually think the pressure turns right back up because then everybody's like, oh, well, here they go again kind of thing. It's a good thing if it happens, but I could see it all of a sudden everybody being right back on board, right back on board from a national level.
Especially because that 3-1 gold, let's just say they start 3-1, that could come without Rashee Rice, without Christian Fulton. Like, the idea that they go beat the Chargers or they go beat Philly and they win all the games that you would expect. Maybe they lose one, right? They lose to Philly, but they beat the Chargers. And week four, don't they have another – they got another big opponent there.
Well, so they have the Giants, and then all of a sudden they have the Ravens and Lions and mixed in there.
So Ravens, I think Lions are week six or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they beat the Ravens and the Chargers and the Giants but lose to Philly, but they're 3-1 and no Rashee Rice and the offense still looks competent even without that, well, then, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying it can't turn back up. I'm just saying, coming into camp, this should feel a little less intense than it has in the previous times. I'm not saying Andy doesn't run a hard camp.
No, it's still going to be.
It's going to be intense for the
brutal,
normal reasons.
It's going to be a brutal camp for the players, especially with the weather and everything.
Yeah, that part of it, that is what it is. I'm just, you and I both know that at one point, like you said, the pressure gauge was turned up so high, like in the movie, right, with the steam starting to come out of the casket, and you're like, okay, easy there. Like, you don't want to get too close in case it explodes. That's what it felt like the last, I think, 4 straight years. Off the Super Bowl loss, off one Super Bowl win, off the, you know, like the double Super Bowl win. Like, it just feels like that's where it is. Because some of it also had the, because no matter what, even if they won no more Super Bowls, which I don't think is going to happen, they did not waste Patrick Mahomes' career. He's got three
rings in his pocket.
He has 3 rings. There are 5 quarterbacks capable of doing that.
But so, you would have to admit.
I would still be disappointed. You can't just call it a
There would be. It's not the same as Sean Payton and Drew Brees only winning one, or Rodgers and McCarthy only getting the one. But yes, if we fast forward a decade from now and Mahomes, quote unquote, only has 3, I think there will still be a conversation that people have. Hey, should they have won more? I think that will be, that's always the conversation, right? Like with any great players, like even with when LeBron's done, people are still going to say, should he have won an extra ring or two?
Oh, yeah.
And when it was all said and done, based on the teams he had, like that's what we do for. This is a very specific conversation for greatest of all time, second best player of all time.
If
kind
it's
of
a
stuff.
Decade, he's only got 3. Then greatest of all time's out the door.
Oh,
like that ship has sailed.
Cody,
it's just
about
one more final ride.
We differ on this one. I've told you after the head-to-head loss to Brady and everything, Mahomes to even have that conversation has got to get to 6. I really think.
I think it's 5. But yes, I get your point because Tom Brady lost more than 2. So it's
I understand.
You know, like,
but you got to get the number. I mean, like,
no,
he can't end up with 4 and be like, oh. You know, we're not having the debate of like who's the more athletic and in overall like ability. That's obviously Patrick Mahomes over Brady, but the whole package and eventually, you know, we now view that all in a ring conversation. The head to head, I think, was just so devastating. We said, hey, if you get the three-peat, that eliminates the head to head, and
they
didn't get the three-peat. And now I guess doesn't mean Doesn't mean he can't win back-to-back again at
some
point.
Who's to say he can't? Who's to say he can't do it again?
That's right.
Not me.
That's right.
We point this out every time we get to training camp and every time we talk about the Chiefs. Because for all the times we come on the show and might nitpick, we nitpick for that reason.
The bar is very high.
I understand what the Chiefs are capable of. I have said 1,000 times on this show that overtime in the AFC Championship game is the shortest season Patrick Mahomes has had. Overtime in the AFC Championship game is as quick as his season ends in any given year. So it's not crazy for me that he can win back-to-back gold because there's about an 80% chance in his career that he'll be playing in the damn game, right? So, and a 60% chance to win it based on current history of winning 3 of the 5 he's been in. And so there's always the possibility of stacking up the rings. It just, I'm glad they're going to tone it back a little bit this time.
Every day we're up here at camp, we get texts. People ask, "Hey, how's the weather?
How
you guys doing? You staying cool? You got water and all that?" So we decided, you know what? We'll just let you know what the weather is supposed to be like. So we have our first weather report from Cloudy with a Chance.
With your training camp forecast, I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance. Another hot one today with sunny skies and a high of 98 degrees. Make sure you're staying hydrated out there, but it's a perfect day to watch some of the best athletes in the world show off the kind of athletic skill that Cody and Gold can only dream of having. Seriously, these guys could pull a hammy setting up their broadcast equipment. I'm meteorologist Cloudy with a Chance for Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.
Wait. Now we're just
taking
shots thrown at us during weather reports.
Your guys' hammies are fully intact.
So far, Drew.
I didn't pull a hamstring setting up broadcast.
Drew must have been behind this weather report today or something. That's shots fired. We'll get you back, I think, at some point later on this week or something. But no, we're fine. We're good. Yeah. No injuries or anything. You know,
it is hot.
As long as the wasp stays away, we'll be
are you
good.
Allergic to bees or wasps?
I don't know. We've had this conversation.
I've never been stung
by a bee. Remember, I had the wasp nest on my deck, and I
still got questions about how you've never been stung. I feel like there's just a point of like...
Not by a wasp, I think. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know...
Not even a sweat bee? Nothing?
No.
Nothing?
No, I mean, mosquito...
Screw you, Cloudy, with a chance. I didn't do anything to you.
Yeah, we're going to... We'll see how long we keep this meteorologist around for the show today or not. By the way, practice, you may have heard in the background. I don't know if that came up over the air, but we had the horn. That means practice is over. Which means in about 5 to 10 minutes, I would suspect, we will have Trip McDuffie stopping by.
Depends on how long they stretch and say nice words to each other in a circle.
It's day one, so yeah, you're right. But practice is technically over. They are just kind of doing the wind down at this point in time. But we're going to have to, I mean, look, if that's how the weather report's going to go throughout camp, my goodness. People think I did the weather report. They think that was me. That was absolutely not me. I can promise you that was not me doing the weather report.
You think
I did a weather report taking shots at myself?
Himself unathletic?
No.
If he called me unathletic, then you could have had that suspicion.
Someone said Gold, nice accent.
That wasn't Alex Gold.
I swear, I can 100% confirm. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I can tell you it was not me 100%. I'm not lying.
I don't know who it was, but I just know. I know Alex. I've listened to Alex's voice for 4 hours every week for the last 5 years. I could promise you I could tell if he was even putting on a weird fake voice.
Right.
That's not Alex.
Someone said only hammy you guys are pulling is a sandwich out of your pocket.
Jeez.
Wow.
That might be worse than what Claudia said.
That is worse.
Yeah. Damn.
Sandwich out of my pocket. Saying I'm so hungry I got to like keep food in my pockets to take snacks.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's kind of crazy.
All right. Fine. Text line. Let's see what kind of energy we're bringing to today.
Up next, as we continue broadcasting from training camp, of course, our coverage of training camp is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Up next, we are expected to be joined by Chiefs corner Trent McDuffie. We also talk about one of the better lineups in the NFL. It's not often we talk lineups in NFL. It's just not how it's usually phrased, but that's what one publication did. Where do the Chiefs come in, and do we agree? That's coming up next, live from St. Joe.
You're listening to 96.5 The Fan from the Mission Plumbing Heating and Cooling Studios.
Number one in St. Joe, Chiefs training camp practice number one in the books. Just wrapped up a few minutes ago. Remember, no pads or anything like that. Today, just the season ticket holder day. We'll be back up here on Thursday. And obviously, a lot of you have already reserved your tickets to come up every day. Different players may be available for autographs. That's like the number one thing we get texted.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's the best plan? I don't know if there's a perfect plan. Get here early, get to the railings, as quickly as possible, and hope, and get lucky. That's, I mean, honestly, you got to get a lucky, especially on days if Mahomes is signing. I mean, good luck.
You got a much better chance if you're a kid.
Absolutely. That's definitely the case. So we're going to be joined by Trent McDuffie probably in the next 5 minutes or so, depending on his final kind of separate work he's getting in right now with some of the corners out there. But he is going to join us in a little bit. And while we're waiting for Trent McDuffie to join us, I want to talk about something that we don't really, I guess, think about as much in the NFL. Like, it's not baseball. One through nine, how do we think about the lineup? But ESPN went through and ranked the starting lineups for NFL teams.
Yeah, I don't usually think about it like a baseball starting lineup, one through nine.
And overall, it's roster. It's obviously overall how you feel about the skill positions and projected starters. They had the number one roster, I guess, of starters in football with Baltimore. And they mentioned their biggest strength, of course, Lamar Jackson.
Their biggest wide receiver?
Guard is what they listed. Their X factor is left tackle Ronnie Stanley. And their non-starter to know is their new kicker. Okay, that's what they put down. The Eagles were number two, by the way. They mentioned their strength, of course, is tackle. Weakness is edge rusher, which sounds funny to us in Kansas City, but they claim that's their weakness is edge rusher. And then number three, I'm not going to go through each specific, but the Lions were number three. The Bills were number four. They did mention biggest strength, of course, Josh Allen. Weakness, safety, X-factor, Keon Coleman, the second-year wide receiver. And then the Chiefs came in at number five on this, just in front of the Broncos, who are in their division, in front of the Commanders, and the Rams.
Look, they do not have the best roster in the NFL.
No.
I think pretending that they do would be kind of crazy. I will say their floor, though, on their roster is better than some of these teams. They do not have a unit as weak as the Ravens at guard or at wide receiver, in my opinion. What do they think? A wide receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, is solving their problems? Like, they had
no,
one
but they're not asking D-Hop to be a number one or two. I mean, no. they have Bateman and Flowers. I'm not saying I like it, but I would disagree. Like, they're not asking DeAndre Hopkins to be one of their top guys. I hear you. I would say, you know, like, for example, if you're wondering what they listed for the Chiefs at five, I mean, they said, of course, biggest strength, duh, Patrick Mahomes. Biggest weakness, offensive tackle. And I think anybody else in the league would say, if you're going to say the guard is weak for the Ravens, they would say, well, tackle's a more important position, and it's
fair.
An unknown.
I think they have a better chance of being better than
I think they're going to figure out tackle finally this year, but I'm with you. And then the X factor, they listed Rashee Rice. Now, I don't know if they just mean that because of availability, because otherwise I feel like I
think it would mean ceiling. Like, what if he really is the 1,400-yard receiver if he played a full season guy.
Yeah, can he be a true number one, in the league?
Whenever he plays. Mm-hmm. Whether that's week one, which I don't think it will be, or whether that's week six or five mm-hmm. or eight or whatever else the suspension comes from, if he's that guy, if he's first 3 weeks Rashee Rice, the ceiling on the offense immediately goes up. Although, in fairness, I feel like, other than he's coming off the major injury, I feel like I know that more about him than what the ceiling is with Xavier Worthy. We talk about Xavier Worthy, he only had like 650 yards last year. Rashee Rice in his rookie year had over 900, then followed it up with those three games of looking like he was going to go way past that. I kind of feel like the X factor might be more Xavier Worthy. Is he ready for an increase in workload? Does the final 8 weeks, 6 weeks, the playoff run, do those things actually translate into a full 17-game season for him? He's a bigger swing guy for me. I feel like I know more about what I'm getting out of Rashee Rice from a day-to-day. I think his skill set makes sense. It all works in the offense, yada, yada. I got some stuff worthy that would make
I tend happy. To agree. I think the question with Rice would also be, I guess you and I have just assumed that it's not going to be any of a question, which would be the ACL.
Yeah.
And the injury or whatever that he suffered against the Chargers in week four. How much of that should also factor in. Like, so much has been about the disciplinary stuff that we haven't considered he's still coming back from a knee injury. But they said he's been ahead of schedule. He was out here today already getting number one reps and no signs of anything. Remember, he can, despite a potential suspension, he can practice with everybody and everything like that throughout camp and play in preseason games. So, yeah, I'm not worried about the health and recovery from a knee injury. I know sometimes that would be the number one story. I think what we saw last year from him, it's now also year three in this offense. He's going to be good to go whenever that day is, whether it's week one or week six.
But the other part is, like, I think he's good to go week one either way, but because I think it's going to be week five, then he's definitely going to be good to go. So, like, I got to just, like, the health stuff feels definitely like the secondary part versus can he maintain where he was in this offense during that time? Because you got to remember, while Rashee Rice was working in the offense as a whole still wasn't. They weren't putting up huge numbers with Rashee Rice. They were still struggling in the red zone. It was all the same stuff. We can go 14 plays down the field to settle for a 37-yard field goal and kind of feel like we got busted up going out of it. And so if it's not that, or if it's that again, then we're really doing. Because the other X factor is obviously left tackle. Because Mahomes has to, I think, retrain his brain this year. I think he has to retrain his brain.
Trust and confidence.
He was way too sped up. To his own fault, I think, sometimes too sped up. And as a result of that, I think made some mistakes that you wouldn't anticipate him making. And then the season got worse as kind of a result of that, Gold, because, you know, we didn't know exactly what we were going to get out of it. So we'll see exactly how it goes this year. But obviously, we'll see how it goes. But, like, yeah, I still worry, at least on that end, that that's something he has to kind of adjust to and get used to and all this stuff that kind of comes with it.
We are about to be joined by Chiefs corner Trent McDuffie here live from St. Joe at Chiefs training camp. Our training camp interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC, your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and also by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjoemo.com. Trent, good to have you on the show. This is the fourth straight year I think we've had you on the show. Last time when you were with us, you said, "Hey, I got to get a pick finally. I get one of these picks." You come into camp. You got two in the bag at least.
Finally, right?
Oh. Yeah, we'll try to. We have his mic hopefully working over there, Cody.
Well, I mean, it was on.
We'll get that.
You know what, Trent? It never goes as smooth as you want.
Day one of camp. There we go. Day one of camp.
You know, you can't be mad. You need a little glitch. Day one.
You're our first guest to camp this year.
We're learning too.
That makes me happy. There we go. But yeah, like you said, got those two picks under my belt. Excited, but it definitely puts you in the mindset where you want to go get more. You know, once you have that first feeling, got the second one against Houston, and now coming into training camp, even during OTAs, it's all about going to get that ball. And that was something we really specified and something that the DB group is really focusing on this year.
We kind of look at it like, I think it's kind of difficult because from the outside, as fans, we view it as you're either the kind of corner who stays in someone's hip pocket and that's the way you do your business, or you're the guy who baits into making a mistake. Oh, please. Yep. Is it hard to kind of is it hard to want to risk that? And risk the completion in order to, like, you know, maybe try to tempt them a little bit more sometimes.
You know, I think definitely. You know, I think there's a yin and a yang to it. You know, someone who is going to strap that receiver all game versus someone who's going to get two or three picks a game, man. I think over this past summer, really, I've been really trying to just study different DBs and their timing of looking at the ball and when you are able to really bait the quarterback, you know, and setting this game up. Because, like you said, I'm someone where – yeah, I'd rather have zero catches, zero targets, and five PBUs than three picks and three catches against me. Like, that's just my game. That's what I love to do. So, like I said, just finding that timing and also working with Patrick. I mean, I feel like Patrick's one of those guys where that ball is put in the perfect place every time, no matter how good I guard a receiver. So once I get a few picks under him, I understand, okay, this is how Patrick throws the ball. This is the time he throws the ball. I'm starting to get more confident, more comfortable, starting to turn my head around and playing a little bit more with the quarterback.
Full-on football mode now. I know we're in St. Joe, but how was the offseason? You go anywhere, you do something different, you try something new, new hobby? What did you do?
You know, I always go back to California for 2 weeks. I have a youth football camp that I put on every year for my foundation, so that was really awesome. Spent some time with the family. I mean, train for these fast 4 weeks because knowing you come into this training camp, you know, you better be ready to go day one. You saw here some guys' legs were starting to get a little dead. So just getting that mindset again in that mode of football season is just what I love. And that's why I love coming to St. Joe's because it just allows you to prepare in just a football environment, you know, with no distractions. Like, we can just do football day in, day out. And it really sets you up for the end of the year when, you know, you're tired, your body's hurt, and you can think back, like, I remember those 19 plays during that long drive drills. I remember practicing for two and a half hours when it's 90 degrees out. Like, this really makes me feel like it's football season again, so I get excited.
Who's the first guy in the group chat to be like, that heat? I can't take the heat. It's got to be one of the bigger guys, right? One of the linemen?
You know, I think it's just a collective mind state where you kind of just know it's coming. You know, like, you can complain all you want. You can say everything you want to say, but it's not going to stop the fact that we're going to be out here full pads, going through full practice. So most of the time, it's like right when you get out of practice, you're like, oh, damn, it's going to be a hot one. Like, here we go. And then it's like, all right, let's just lock in and get through it, because the less you think about it, the better off you are.
When you look at some of the – we want to ask you about, obviously, around the league now with the other corners. We've seen all the other top corners in the league now be paid. I guess, first off, have you guys had any conversations, or is your representation – currently talking with the Chiefs about a future extension?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at all these other DBs who have gotten paid, Sauce, Thingley. It makes me happy every time. I have the biggest smile on my face because those guys deserve it. You know what I mean? Like, when you play this game, you work so hard. You pour so much of your time into this game. And when you see someone like them who go to work every day, you know, make plays on the field, do the right things, you have to be excited, you know, and it helps everybody out. Like I say, one guy getting paid helps all of the 32 teams and the guys at the position get paid. And when it comes to contract stuff, I feel like I have the best agent in the game, hands down. And I truly let him worry about the contract. Like, when I say I don't worry about anything contract-wise, he worries about the contract, and I am truly just on football. And that's the way I want it to be.
Do you communicate, though, with him? Is it something you would like to get done before this season, though?
You know, honestly, when it comes to contract stuff, like, it's not really on my mind, you know. He's obviously in contact with me all the time. He keeps me updated on things. And you know, I love the Chiefs. I love the organization, and I love being a part of what it means to be a Chief. And down the road, whenever it happens, it happens. But right now, like I said, my focus is solely on how do we get back to another Super Bowl.
But from a football perspective, you see the guys you mentioned, Stingley and Sauce Gardner. You believe you're on that level, right? You are equally as good or better. Like, you got to think about that as a football mindset, right, that you're just as good as those guys.
Yeah, and, I mean, for me, really, I don't compare myself to anybody, you know. I'm one of the guys that can only worry about what 22 Trent McDuffie can do for the Chiefs. You know, they have their own game. Sauce has his own game. But for me, it's really about what can I do for this team? How can I affect this team? And the end of the day, I want to win football games. Like, all the money, all that stuff will come, but my number one goal is let's go out there and win football games.
We're talking to Trent McDuffie here on 96.5 The Fan. Now, I'm sure the excitement in the locker room was pretty cool. Although, when you do see guys on your own team here get paid recently, Carl Loftus, obviously, Trey Smith, Nick Bolton earlier in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I gave those guys, every time each one of them got paid, I texted them a big congratulations. But I'm one of those guys where I'm kind of bad on my phone. So when I saw them in person, the biggest hug, the biggest smile, and those three guys right there are some of my favorite human beings on the team. Like, when I say just down to earth, guys who got your back, guys that do it right, like, when you think about a Chief, when I think about a Chief, those are the guys that I look at. Those are the guys that I bring up. So seeing them get what they deserve, I mean, I was ecstatic for them.
You're not a group chat guy? You said are you slow to get back to people?
Oh, yeah, I'm terrible. If anybody knows that has my number, yo, I text back maybe a week, two weeks later.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I'm terrible because I am truly off my phone. As soon as I'm out of football, like, the phone's down. Like, I'll call my mom, I'll call my family, I'll call my girlfriend, and everybody else, I got to get to them whenever I can.
I got to say, I've heard rumor of George Karloftis's food at his house. The contract, I feel like the level's going to go up
a little bit,
you know? Have you been to his house for that? He says he flies in seafood and the whole thing.
The best food I had. We actually, during OTAs, we went to this Greek place over in Overland Park, and I swear, he walked in. He came, like, 5 minutes late. You know, we were wondering, like, what we should eat. And he sat down and went, boom, 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 boom. Like, 30 things off the menu. Like, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, this is all for you, George? Like, is this for the table? It's for you? He's like, nah, bro. Like, this is me. You get what you want. I was like, all right, big dog. Like, you got it.
We saw, Trent, after practice, you were doing a little side work and some of the young guys out there. Do you feel like, whether it's Noel Williams, do you feel like you're taking on that role even more? I know you did a little bit last year, too.
Yeah. But 100%. And I think going into year four, the comfortability with the playbook is a big thing for me. I feel like I can really simplify things, you know, because I'm one of those guys that overcomplicates the playbook. Like, I'm trying to learn what George is doing. I'm trying to learn what Nick's doing. Like, I didn't know the whole defense, so that when these young guys come in, even new guys, you know, like Christian Fulton come in and trying to learn the defense, I can kind of simplify it for them to be like, okay, worry about these three things when you go on the field. And then as you progress, like, you'll learn more. But they're all doing a great job. I mean, they're all really smart. Noel Williams came in. Actually, his defensive backs coach from college was my coach in college.
Oh, wow,
so
okay.
We kind of come from the same tree, speak the same language. So I'm really excited to just see what they're going to do during this camp and throughout the season.
You'd mentioned winning multiple times, the Super Bowls and the stuff that you care the most about. What's the difference day one in camp this year versus last year? Last year you come in, you're back-to-back champs, hungry for a third. This year you're coming off the disappointing Super Bowl loss. How do you feel like the attitude or the tenor of the camp is even just a day in?
Yeah. I mean, Coach Reed really set the standard. We have our phrase for this, the theme of the year is max out. You know, and that means max out in the weight room, max out on the field, max out in everything. So just coming out here even day one and just pushing through that hot practice. You know, you're getting your legs back under you. You know, you be a little tired, a little out of breath, but really giving it 100% and being like, every play counts. every play matters, you know. Like, we came off a loss. Yeah, we got a little chip on our shoulder, but we just got to get back to work. And that's the beautiful thing about this team is we just get back to work.
Is there part of you that likes some of the noise that's out there? Because I think it's pretty evident. I know you're not on social media very often, but it's still pretty. You guys know what's going on. And you hear and see people saw you guys in the Super Bowl, and a lot of people are like, all right, well, it's over. This is kind of – is that – you kind of like that?
You know, since I've been drafted to the Chiefs, I feel like there's always been buzz about us. So, for one thing, I'm used to it. And another thing – I mean, let them talk. You know what I say? That's what I love. Let everybody else talk, and we just go in, do our business, and prove them wrong.
I mean, when you look back, because we mentioned the year four stuff and wanting to be here long-term and the contract and stuff. When you look back, how fortunate – you know, this sounds silly, but how fortunate do you feel that you ended up here? Like Andy Reid, this system, and with a team with this kind of standard.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, especially on draft night, thinking, where am I going to go? You know, you're sitting there, you have no idea, and Kansas City comes up. And over the years, just knowing what this team's been about, knowing who's been in the room, Hall of Famers like Patrick, like Trav, like Chris Jones, seeing a Hall of Fame coach, and just their work ethic and how they approach life has been the biggest thing for me. Like, it's allowed me to grow so much off of the field that I'm more grateful for than even just being a football player, you know, just how to deal with people in the community, how to deal with, even your own family when it comes to important things. Like, seeing how these guys do their day-to-day stuff has been the biggest thing that I've taken away, and I'm really thankful for.
Chiefs corner Trent McDuffie joining us here at 96.5 The Fan. Appreciate it, man. Good to talk to you, as always.
Hopefully again next year.
Yeah, right.
There you go. Day one of Chiefs camp in the books. Pads in a couple days. Still time for that, but we appreciate Trent joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Our training camp interviews are brought to you by Powell Exteriors KC. Your one call for siding, window replacement, custom decks, and roofing in the KC Metro, and also by the St. Joseph Convention and Visitors Bureau. Plan your trip now at stjoemo.com.
I mean, look, I like the motivation of, like, I'm trying to figure out a way to play with the quarterbacks some more, because the truth is, elite-level corners, very often, they don't get the ball thrown at them anymore, Gold. Like, if you're a quarterback, you'd be like, I could just throw at somebody else. Why would I waste my time throwing at Trent McDuffie? You got to kind of tease him a little bit into it. And the contract stuff is obviously interesting just because he didn't say he's in a rush to get it done. They definitely communicate, but he didn't make it sound like they had to get this thing done before the start of camp. So
no, but he's well aware, as anybody, he's well aware of
what he's worth.
He said he doesn't compare himself to those guys, but he knows that's the ballpark that he's in terms of financial means. And obviously, yeah, he gave the answer that you would expect to hear from a player who's now at camp, letting his agent handle that and move forward. And, you know, I honestly don't know. Like, I tend to lean that it still gets done in the next 12 months. Does it get done in the next 45 days? I don't know. Look, they've been able to bring back and sign guys that at the time didn't seem all that optimistic about.
This is
also unique, as you said. I mean, he's got they got multiple years of control still.
Yep.
Under Trent McDuffie, he's somebody that I still think, when you look at the pillars of the organization, now clearly Carl Loftus is part of that. I still think that poster out, you know, on the concrete there at Arrowhead, Trent McDuffie, Mahomes,
Chris Jones, Kelce. Oh, you mean in the future?
Yeah. Like, I think McDuffie
probably Chris Jones for a couple of years.
For sure. Yeah. I think McDuffie is one of those guys that is going to be the face of the defense and the face of this organization along with Mahomes. I truly believe that, and I think they eventually get a deal done.
Well, I like that he takes on what he'd said. He said, part of my job and part of, like, where I like being in year four is I can simplify it for the people who are coming into the system. So Noah Williams comes in, and I can tell him, hey, you're worrying too much about all this stuff? Here's the few things you need to worry about in order to do a good job, in order to handle your business. I'll take care of the rest. That's my responsibility. You take care of the few simple things in order to make sure that we're clean and square and in good shape, and then outside of that. But, I mean, he's obviously one of the three, four, five best players on this team.
No question.
I don't care where you want to rank him. He's behind Mahomes, and then I think you can make an argument. It's kind of like picking quarterbacks 2, 3, and 4 in the NFL, what we've talked about before. I don't really care which order you put Lamar, Burrow, and Josh Allen in. I'll put them in the order I am. You put them in the order you want. But there's inarguably 2, 3, 4, and 1. So on this team, it's inarguably 1. But then if you wanted to make an argument that Trent McDuffie is the second best player on this team, I'm not here making an argument, are you? Like, I mean, I can if you want, and I can tell you it's Chris Jones, or I can tell you it's someone else. But there's a strong argument for him, too.
Yeah, and today we saw, because Fulton's on the PUP list, we saw in that secondary, McDuffie along with Jalen Watson were working on the outside. You didn't get to see McDuffie move on the inside. That's Shamari Connor right now. And I still think at some point, whether it's camp or in the season, the question for McDuffie to also even be able to max, not to use their phrase that they use, to
max out,
as that's apparently the theme of for the Chiefs this year from the coaches to the players. In order for that to happen, I think he has to play inside a little bit on top of that. And that might need Christian Fulton to be healthy for that to actually exist. But someone says, can we get some Cody and Gold max out t-shirts? Maybe we'll have to work on that. Appreciate McDuffie stopping by. He also stayed around and signed some autographs. I think I always mention that because not that anybody, like, not every player does that. A lot of them, they'll do the interview and they just leave. And there's different reasons for that, timing and everything. But he spent some time here after signing some autographs for kids and stuff. I always think that's important to point out. I don't know how you don't like Trent McDuffie. To me, he's our, one of our favorite interviews we do every year. This is the fourth year we've had him. One of the guys that if you go to the locker room after a loss, after a win, he's the guy that'll talk. A lot of again, don't blame some of them, but there's a lot of guys that'll leave and won't stick around. He will always be there and talk to the media, and I think fans appreciate that as well.
Accountable in every sense of the term, essentially, is the way Trent McDuffie operates, which is why we're so glad to hear him. Again, if you missed any portion of it, we'll bring you back a part of that at 1:30 as well. We love having Trent McDuffie on. And, every single day we are up here at camp, which is 11 different shows, including today, so 10 more after today. We will have an interview ready for you guys with a player from the Chiefs.
Yeah, our training camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. You guys can always still hit us up, even though we're on remote, on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Yeah, video stream is up and running as well. Coming up next, we're going to hear a little bit from Andy Reid. He just spoke a short while ago. We're also expected to hear from Patrick Mahomes, Trey Smith, George Karloftis, Nate Taylor's going to stop by. We're just getting started here in St. Joe. It's Cody and Gold on 96.5 The Fan.